The next president starts his job with the same words that President Bush did, the same words spoken by every president.
I, Franklin Delano Roosevelt.
I, Harry S. Truman, do solemnly swear.
I, Richard Bilhouse Nixon, do solemnly swear that I will faithfully execute the office.
The office of President of the United States.
And will, to the best of my ability,
preserve, protect, and defend.
And defend the Constitution of the United States.
So help me God.
Ronald Reagan and other presidents took the oath that Barack Obama will soon repeat.
This morning we'll find a deeper meaning in words that seem like a simple formality.
If I went up to 12 people on the street and said, where would you find the instructions for the oath of office? I doubt that many of them would tell me it's actually written into the Constitution.
But it is. Marvin Pinkert of the National Archives works in a building that holds the original Constitution. He's wearing a red tie, decorated with the Constitution's handwritten opening words, We the People. It's a short document, mostly giving broad principles, except for that oath.
This is the one thing that's really specific?
It's
There's actually a quote?
It's the only sentence in quotes in the entire Constitution.
And you would understand why those exact words matter when you learn how they were edited. Marvin Pinkert shows us how by leading us to documents in a glass display case.
So let's start with the first document, which is the first printed draft of the Constitution. At this point, the Constitutional Convention starts to meet in mid-May.
1787.
They've gone through all the big political issues about creating a House of Representatives in small states and big states and how they're going to orient themselves and the separation of powers. But there are a lot of details missing. And so what you're looking at here is George Washington's working copy of this draft Constitution. And you can see that there's a piece of the oath of office. We've blown it up here.
I blank. Where does it go from there?
Solemnly swear or affirm that I will faithfully execute the office of President of the United States. That's the whole oath at the time. You can see where Washington has written in very small print a change George Mason and James Madison have proposed to make a change to the document that adds this phrase about defending the Constitution so that, in effect, the president is taking an oath of subordination
to
the Constitution of the United States.
Which is significant, I suppose, because in future generations, presidents will have this dilemma. Do I do what I think is best for the country, or do I follow the law, even if I don't think that's best for the country? Do I break the law? There are presidents constantly wrestling with that dilemma.
And I suspect that that's what leads to the next change in the document. What you're looking at here is from the last few days of the Constitutional Convention. There is a committee of revision and style that has made a few suggestions for changes. And among those changes is to cut out the word judgment and replace it with the word abilities. So the president no longer is exercising his best judgment, but instead, to the best of his abilities, is following the Constitution. The last set of changes will have to go where the final Constitution is.
Which we can do down the hall at the National Archives. In a cavernous room, a kind of civic temple, we find the Constitution itself under glass. The ornate handwriting shows a few final tweaks. For example, the phrase, and power, is dropped.
I can't honestly tell you how those last changes took place, but this is the final step of getting the 37 words of the oath.
Now, that is not precisely what modern presidents have said, is it?
Or not entirely? No, modern presidents have generally added the phrase, so help me God, but that is not in the Constitution.
Oh, is it not known where the so help me God began? Which president might have picked it up along the way?
I don't know. There are people who will tell you it was said by Washington, and there are people who say it wasn't said by Washington. Having no tape, I have no ability to determine that.
Well, thanks very much for sharing these documents with us.
My pleasure.
Of course, there will be tape next week. Marvin Pinkert is executive director of the National Archives Experience, and you can see one of those papers we talked about at npr.org.